Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. My name is Chris Hogan, and I'm excited to host another great episode for you today. Today on the podcast, we're talking to New York Times bestselling author Gary Vaynerchuk, or Gary V as he's known to over a million people on Twitter. Gary is the founder of WineLibrary.com and VaynerMedia, where he specializes in helping Fortune 500 companies like GE, PepsiCo, Green Mountain Coffee, the New York Jets, and the Brooklyn Nets find their social voices and tell great stories. He's here to talk about his brand new book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. We're so excited to have him on the phone with us today. Please welcome to the podcast, Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, listen, I absolutely love the book, and I love the metaphor. Now, tell me about the title. Why the boxing analogy?
Because I think when everybody who's listening right now, and I have a good sense of the kind of listenership, and that's what I want to really bring value to today, you know, when people think about social media, it's just all very noisy, isn't it? There's just a lot of it. It's overwhelming. You know, I want everybody who's listening now, because I'm going to assume a lot of them don't know who I am. I want you to know that I love social media because it sells stuff. I'm a businessman. I want to build businesses. Yeah. I want to buy the New York Jets one day. So I'm not here fooling around. I've got ambition, right?
And
so
right.
I used this metaphor for a very specific reason. When people think about Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, all these platforms, they just see a lot of noise, and they're not sure what it is, and it seems like maybe it's a waste of time, and does it have an ROI? Does it really sell stuff? I find that very similar to boxing. You know, most people who see boxing, they see just a bunch of, you know, guys or gals punching each other in the face. You know, it's this kind of thing. What is it really like? Is it a barbaric? Why are they punching each other in the head? But the people that know boxing the best, and you may know this, but boxing is known as the sweet science, right?
That's right.
And that philosophers compare boxing more to chess than anything else, okay?
Yes.
That's how I look at social media. The book I wrote is literally a utility. It's a textbook. It's a playbook. It's a strategy. When I see Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn, I see, and when I think about how do I sell stuff on it, I see a science. I see a science of what time to post, which picture to post, how to post. Do you need to do an animated GIF? Do you need to do an infographic? Do you need to do a video? Do you need to do a picture? Is it written word? Do you use a hashtag? It's a science, my friend. And then the jab, 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 right hook part comes from give, 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 and then ask, right?
Hmm.
Bring value, then ask. Don't go on Twitter and Facebook and just post, buy my book. Go out there and throw jabs. How can I help you? Look what you guys are doing by having this podcast. You are giving amazing content and value to your audience. That's jabbing.
Well, I love it because I actually did some boxing training for about 3 weeks, and it was incredibly strategic with everything that we're doing. And so I like in the book how you talk about, you know, that the ring movement, the things that you're doing in business, comes from those well-timed, well-planned jabs. And I think businesses need to embrace this and understand the impact that social media is going to have on today, but also tomorrow.
When you guys promote this podcast, you would have normally, like 99.9% of people, because I've looked, you're just going to post a link to the download on iTunes or wherever else. And, you know, have we given the thought about what time? Do we realize that Gary Vee's fans are mainly East Coast? So what time should we post that? You know, we think about should we use a hashtag that's trending to give us more by accident awareness? I mean, have you had a chance to look at the book yet or not?
Yes, sir, I have. Yes, sir. Yes.
I mean, so you know. I mean, it's pretty detailed.
Oh, it's extremely detailed, and especially with the case studies and things that you have in there. It is truly a playbook for social media.
You know, 86, you know, case studies. You know, I respect the people listening to this podcast too much to just stand on the top of the mountain because I've had some success and say, listen to me, be like me, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to make this a utility that every single person that read it for the $20 that they're going to spend on it, left saying, Jesus, that was a really good use of my money.
Yes. Now, you are definitely a passionate guy. Why are you so passionate about social media?
You know, obviously I stated it earlier, because I'm a businessman, I like selling stuff, and I believe these platforms are the future of selling stuff.
Yes.
Much like I believed in email marketing in 1997 and 1998, just like I believed in 1996. that websites were, which is why I launched winelibrary.com in 1996, launching the first e-commerce wine business from an independent liquor store in the country. You know, and the other thing that makes me quite passionate, to be honest with you, my friend, is I'm grateful. I was born in the former Soviet Union. I came to this country poor. My parents are incredible. I was raised the right way. I love people. Unfortunately, I lost a lot of my grandparents early on, so I've had a very incredible run of health in my family over the last 30 years, knock on the wood. I'm driven by gratitude.
That's huge. I really do. Now, as you look at this, obviously you consult with some high level companies, and the listeners to our podcast run companies from having five teammates up to maybe 500 or 1,000. But as you talk to a small business owner, and if they're skeptical that they can use social media to grow their business, how would you respond to them?
I'm a funny character, my friend. We're getting to know each other. You know what the true answer to your question is? I would respond to them by saying, I'll see you in 5 years. Let's figure out who won. I'm kind of nasty that way. I have no interest. You know, I write these books to put out my philosophy to help as many people as possible. But I have no interest in convincing anybody that this is right. Everybody said that in 1996 when I launched this website that I was stupid and I should open up a bunch of more stores and that was a better way of doing it. I disagreed. And, you know, history played itself out. When I started doing my show on YouTube in 2006, Around the Wine Library TV, everybody thought I was silly and stupid. And we let that play out, and I was right about that. In 2009, when I started writing the book Crush It and all these other things, and I started pivoting to talk about business instead of wine, everybody said I was stupid all these years of wine. Why would I give that all up to go into a new arena where I had no fans? You know why? Because I knew I was a businessman just as much as I was a wine expert, right?
Yes.
And so that played itself out, and, you know, I've made financially way more dollars in this new incarnation of myself than I did before. 4 years ago, I started this agency, VaynerMedia, to help clients. Everybody said, why don't you just do it for yourself? This is stupid. Client services businesses are stupid. Well, we've gone from 25 to 300 employees in the last 24 months. You know, so I don't want to convince anybody. You know what I like doing? I like executing.
Yes.
And then letting the chips fall where they may.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, say for these small businesses, the conversation on social media can be so loud. How can they make sure that their voice and their story gets heard?
Well, that's why I wrote the darn book. Because everybody's throwing the right hooks. And you took boxing for 3 weeks. You know what happens when you know a right hook's coming? You duck.
That's right.
And so the real answer to the question, to break out, is to learn how to jab, to learn how to engage with people, and to learn how to put out content that actually brings value to people. The setup to have permission to actually offer something to sell.
Yeah, and I can remember the boxing coach talking to me. The jab kept you in proximity to your competitor and allowed you to make some contact. And you said the word, and you talk about it in the book. It's the setup. It's a matter of, as a business, keeping connected with your customers. And you make a statement in the book that it's talking about giving something of value. And I think there's a lot of noise on social media. So how do you do value as a small business?
You know, first you look within yourself and you understand what value you actually bring, right?
Okay.
Is your product valuable? Then value becomes very human. What I mean by that is, if you're a real estate agent, instead of just telling people about open houses, what if you actually created a report that educated people on what's going on in the market in the area? Or if you taught them how to save money on their taxes by filing this when you buy a new home or when you rent? It's by becoming a media company. It's by becoming a resource.
Yes. And it's almost, Gary, as you're talking about, becoming that trusted advisor in your area as well.
100%. I mean, if you can't bring value, and by the way, value comes in other forms. What if you're funny? What if you're a landscaper, but you also have a good sense of humor, and your tweets and your Instagram photos are just funny? They're funny. You cut a bush in a funny way. You just made a funny statement. You brought value by making people laugh, and then you could ask for the business.
Yes.
Or empathy, or listening. I love Twitter, and I don't know if you've read through the whole Twitter chapter yet, but I tell people that if you are willing to be a good listener, Twitter is your place.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely saw that. And the thing that blows me away, as I talk to businesses and I coach them as well, I let them know that this next generation is on social media. This is their world. And you point out in the book that boomers have increased their usage of social media 42% in 1 year.
Because if grandma wants to see pictures of granddaughter, guess where she needs to go?
That's right.
And so this is going to happen. And it's, you know, the quicker people realize it, you know, the quicker, you know, there's a bunch of people listening to this and saying, you know, yeah, this is great, but my customer isn't on this. And then they're going to wake up in 3 years and realize they are. Just like the bookstore said, my customers aren't on this, and now Amazon's a real problem, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. As you look at it, and as you've helped companies build brands, when I say the word brand, what does that mean to Gary?
Story. Hmm. Story. Watch this. Word Association, everybody. Dave Ramsey. Okay, now everybody just felt something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, Alabama football. People just felt something, right?
That's exactly right.
Something.
Yeah.
Exxon. Gas. Right?
Yeah.
Sonic. Sonic restaurants. They felt something. What are you feeling? That's what the brand is. However you word associate after I say that, that's what the brand is. And I hope that when people say Gary Vaynerchuk, they say innovator, disruptor, quality human being, businessman, you know, clever, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do through my actions, which then become my brand.
Now, with small business owners, everybody out there is busy and they got stuff going on, and they typically ask me for a formula. Just tell me a recipe. How many times do I need to jab before I can throw a hook?
No, it's all predicated on the health of your product. If you have the best law firm or the best consulting firm or the best product in town, you got to jab less. If you have the best pizza shop in town, 3 jabs for every right hook will probably work for you. If you have the worst, you're going to need 10 jabs, right?
Yeah.
And so, there is no formula in this new world. You just got to keep testing, and seeing what works.
Well, and Gary, you talk about that testing. Are you finding more and more business owners out there are scared to try?
Yes, because they're listening right now and they don't have the money or time.
Hmm.
And I say to them, audit yourself.
Okay.
I promise, including me and you on this phone call, I promise on this podcast, you and I and everybody else listening, every one of us is doing 20% of our time. We're wasting it on silly stuff. Stuff that is not bringing us value for our businesses. And we're wasting our money on email marketing, which is declining, though I love email, but it's not as good as it used to be, on direct mail, on magazine inserts, on a million different things. Meanwhile, if we took 20% of those dollars or time and applied it to what I wrote about in this book, I do believe people would get better business results. That's what I believe.
Now, also in the book, you give 3 characteristics of the perfect right hook. Can you lay those out for me?
So before I do that, and we can go through that. I just want everybody to understand what a right hook is and a jab. It's when you put a picture or a video or an infographic, when you put them on these social networks, that you understand that the jabs are clearly 100% intended to bring value to somebody else, to the audience. And the right hook is 100% for you. That, right now I'm putting out a lot of good content on my social networks, and then every 5th post I'll say, buy my book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the jabs, the right hook, I have about 15 variables of a good right hook, and very honestly, I'm going to have to look now because now that I'm doing interviews, I need to figure out what I netted out as the 3 perfect things. But I know it's the context. It's respecting the platform, right?
Yes.
It's going in for a clear ask. A lot of people are disguising that they're asking for business, right? They're like, they say something clever, but then it links to their book page. Don't do that. People know that you're disguising it. Be upfront. Be authentic. Be proud that you brought them value and that you've asked for the business in return. You're entitled to if you've done the proper jabbing. So to me, it's about the clear ask, it's the context, and it's making the content specific for the platform, having the voice and the tone and understanding all those nuances. It's the crossroads of the creative and the analytics.
And you mentioned in the book, this look around in a room and look how many smartphones and tablets and things that there are. And if you look at it, grandma and grandparents are connected as well. There's an opportunity to take businesses to the next level, but you have to have a story.
But everybody has a story. When you said that, I was making pretend I used my empathy to think that I'm listening to this. And you just said, gosh darn it, but what is my story?
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, if you have a convenience store in a small town in America, your cashier might be the story, right? Look at reality TV.
Yeah.
Like Bert, the 91-year-old gas attendant, he might be the story, right?
Yes.
The family heritage might be the story. Notice how I already in this interview brought up that I was born in the former Soviet Union. I'm storytelling to everybody. Hey, this kid's an immigrant. He came from nothing. It makes you feel like the American dream. Look at this. So You've got to be strategic about this. You've got to figure out what actually brings value. And more importantly, and I want to make sure everybody hears me loud and clear, the most important part of a story is that it's true. Because I think people like to fabricate, and listen, there's nothing wrong with a little sparkles and ribbons, but you can only do so much. You know, it's got to be true. And I see a lot of people trying to fabricate stories. Don't fabricate them. Uncover them. Investigate them.
I like that. And there's actually, when you start to tell your story and it's true, there's an aspect of vulnerability there.
Oh, listen, when I go on stage, and I think a lot of people probably off this podcast, because I'm going to assume a lot of them don't know who I am, because I know where I am in the scheme of things, even with my million followers. When they go to YouTube and see some of my keynotes, they're going to see that I make fun of myself, that I failed all my classes, that I peed my bed until I was 12, that I'm not good at a lot of things, but I focus on my strengths. And, you know, those things matter.
Yes. Now, speaking of which, with the wine library, video-wise, you went against the grain on YouTube. I mean, you didn't offer a couple of minute little videos. You went long form. You went 20 minutes.
It's insane in hindsight because it's such a debate, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've made a lot of quote unquote mistakes that have worked out. The truth is that taught me something I'll never forget, which is if it's quality, it works. Right? I mean, look, I know that this interview is going well. I'm going to give you kudos. I do a lot of these. You're doing a good job in this interview.
Well, I appreciate that.
What that's doing is it's making this podcast an even higher quality version of what I do often. And so I know there's still a lot of people listening from the beginning, right?
Yes, that's right.
And we could sit here all day. I mean, there's people who just, when I said that, said, yeah, I could sit here all day, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about the quality. We'll sit through a three-hour movie if it's great, and we won't sit through a 30-second commercial if it stinks. The time is not the variable. Now, yes, is the world more ADD and it's faster, and do I think about storytelling within a minute? I do, because that's the reality of how people are looking at their phones and other things of that nature. It doesn't take away from the fact that you can still deliver long-form quality.
No, I think you were right, and I love it. And you are definitely a maverick, someone that's not scared to try, and you've been successful. As you look at this, if you were trying to help a business understand its story, would you encourage them to write it out, talk it out? Would they engage with somebody to kind of look at it? How would they go about extracting that story from inside themselves?
I would ask every one of their vendors and customers to describe their business. Because those are the actual stories you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is where you sit. You're going to get real answers. And all of a sudden, you find out silly things like, why did 93% of the people mention Janice, the secretary, right?
Mm.
Or Don, the secretary, or Janice, the CFO. Why did they do that? And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, there might be a story with Janice. Or why did they mention how hot the coffee is? They love that we still serve hot coffee. Or they love that our reports that come in the mail each month. Like, they'll uncover the stories for you if you're willing to be in an open mind and you're willing to listen.
Why are businesses scared to ask?
Because they're thin-skinned. They don't want to hear the bad stuff.
Ah.
I prefer the bad stuff.
Why?
Because then I can act on it. When I have my wine business, if a customer comes in the wine library today, we have a big 40,000 square foot store in Jersey, and they get a bad experience, which shouldn't happen because we are killing customer service, but it can happen. Bad day, moment in time, our best person on the floor went to the bathroom, a new kid started, it didn't go well. It's going to happen. That's life. If that person leaves and never posts on Yelp or Twitter or Facebook or emails me or anything of that nature, if they never do that, well, then we'll never know. And then we'll never get the chance to get them back. But if they tweet like, hey, went to Wine Library, wasn't what I expected, thought they were all at their service, well, I can jump in and I can fix it.
Gotcha. So having the courage to ask is key.
Having the courage for the truth.
Yes. Okay.
You know, that's it, right? Because it's not just your customers, it's your employees. You know what people really don't want to ask? Is what their employees think.
Mm.
That's where you really get the garbage, because that hits close to home, because that's, you're really in charge of that as an operator, you know?
Or you're supposed to be.
You're darn right. And so, you know, I'm the head of HR at VaynerMedia. Then I'm the CEO.
Now, let me ask you to make a prediction. What do you think social media is going to look like 5 years from now?
First of all, you have to understand that I don't think social media is a real word, meaning I think it's a word we use to describe the relevant websites of today,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I actually think it's just a descriptor to the internet. So what you really asked me when I heard you say that, in my brain, you said, where do you think the internet's going to be?
Okay.
Where I think it's going to be is smart everything. So I don't know the people listening, if they know what Uber is, the car service app, or if they know what Airbnb is, the platform that lets people rent out their homes. But, you know, imagine a world with smart refrigerators and smart pants, where your pants text you that you're gaining too much weight, or your refrigerator reorders your beer for you. I think we're going to a very interesting world.
And if you're talking to a business that hasn't done social yet, and they're going to hear this podcast, and because of you, Gary, they're going to go get started, what are the big three that they should start with?
Every business is different. Like, if you're marketing to females, you know, Pinterest is going to matter to you more than if you're marketing to 15-year-olds, because that's more Tumblr.
Okay.
And so there is no, you know, Facebook and Twitter, in my opinion, are really at the scale that you have to be there at some level.
Okay.
After that, you know, it's Instagram, it's LinkedIn. If you're in the B2B world, I think LinkedIn is very important if you're going B2B. So, you know, again, I tried to solve this question that's very important by writing this $20 book, right?
Yeah.
This is more than a quote. This is more than a statement. But if you're not going to buy the book and you're going to be smart and you want to execute, here's what I tell you need to do. You need to go where your customers are. And don't be naive and not realize that your customers, even if they're older, are starting to spend more and more and more time in these platforms.
Oh, people are camped out there. Just look around at an airport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's head down in their phone. Period.
That's exactly right. Now, with Facebook and Twitter, I agree, it's a place you got to be. How does a business do Facebook right?
Jab, 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 right hook, right?
That's
put out content on your fan page that brings value, and then don't be scared to ask for business in return.
Love it. You also, with the case studies, this is one of the things that in books, I've read social media books, and I've never seen a book with as many case studies, an opportunity to learn directly from what other people did well and what they did wrong. It really gives you a perspective on really what will work and what won't work on different platforms. So you truly have put together a playbook for people that they can benefit from other people's mistakes.
You know, I've got this celebrity within the internet social media world, and so I thought it was time for me not to just spout from the top of my lungs, but to actually give heavy detail, and that's why I did this. And as you notice, it's not just big brands. For everybody who's listening, I do Cone Palace, which is a small ice cream shop in Indiana, right? I do celebrities. I do nonprofits. I do Average Joes. So I try to mix up the case studies.
No, you do a great job with it and absolutely love it. And as we wrap up as in talking with you, I want to talk about the round nine. You talk about effort.
I think people are very confused that if you don't come with good intentions and effort, you really have no shot. There is no magic formula. There's no system. There's nothing that you just plug in. It's good old-fashioned, the way your grandpappy and grandma built it. You got to put in the work. And if you put in the effort, you've got a remarkably higher chance of actually being successful. So you're going to read this book, or you're going to listen to this interview, or you're going to go and watch some videos, or whatever you're going to do, that's great. But if you don't put in the effort, you lose. For example, I do not have a six-pack, meaning not a beer. I mean my stomach. You know, I want one. I sure know how to do it. Crunches, diet, right? I know what to do. I can get there, but I'm not doing it. So just because I wrote a book that I think is the blueprint, you know, doesn't mean anything's going to happen after you read it. You got to go and put in the effort, which is why I took a whole chapter to talk about it.
Hey, tell me this, Gary, before we wrap up. What does winning look like on social media?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you achieve why you were there in the first place. Some people want to become famous. Some people want to change the world. Some people want to sell 10 more donuts every day. You know, to me, winning is converting that right hook for whatever mission you have in life.
I think it's important for small business owners to truly understand that you have got to be strategic. Don't waste energy or dollars on things that you don't know. Work the system. Do the things that you know it takes to win.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got customers on the West Coast and you're posting something on Facebook at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern, it's 6 o'clock in the morning there. You're going to miss a lot of them.
Well, listen, Gary, thank you for taking the time. Again, the book
is... Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir, absolutely. The book is Jab, 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 Right Hook. And Gary Vaynerchuk is joining us. He is rocking it in social media and growing things. Gary, thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I definitely want to talk to you again in 2014.
I love that. And for all the people here who want to continue the conversation, go to Facebook.com/Gary, G-A-R-Y. You know, if there's anything I didn't cover or if I can help, I'll do my best. I'm busy, but I'll do my best to answer it if you leave a question there. And I mainly wanted to say that because I wanted to brag when I got Gary.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And let them know. How can they find you on Twitter?
That's Gary V-E-E, Gary V, with two silent vowels. Not the best branding of my career, but that's it, Moran. I wish everybody a happy holiday. Great 2014. Everyone stay well. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Gary. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'd like to thank Gary Vaynerchuk for taking the time to join us today and talk about his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. Enjoyed him. I also want to thank my rock star producer and engineer, Don Haney. And listen, if you have questions that you want answered, I want you to go over to EntreeLeadership.com and join the discussion. As always, remember, stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. And until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profit.